it's interesting as well, in other words, to see how like so many things that are touted as innovation, so many things that are touted as necessary to create the future are really just following in the footsteps, following pathways and path dependencies that were already set based on decisions from decades ago by two or three generations ago of corporate executives and leaders and government colonization making these decisions that then lead up to today, a startup darling like Presto, outsourcing its AI to the Philippines, right? Like it shows as well that like these networks of logistics, both physical and digital, are also not new. They also just follow the networks that already exist. I mean, you know, we talk about the means of communication, we talk about logistics. It's exactly why telecommunication infrastructure, like the wires for the networks, also tend to fall along railroad tracks, right? Because it's just easy. You already have that. You already have the railroad tracks. You already have this infrastructural space and the regulation and governance of that and ownership of that infrastructure. So you might as well just lay the infrastructure of the future on top of the infrastructure of the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, what when we talked with Lale Khalili about how a lot of the deep sea fiber optic cables follow the old imperial shipping routes, right? You know, infrastructure is important, specifically colonial infrastructure is important, and imperial infrastructure is important, and understanding the grooves in which capital is going to run through already, right? This is the great age and era of violence, of dispossession, of upending, of reorganizing and marshaling and concentrating resources and funneling and, you know, creating grooves and troughs for them to run through quickly, right? Creating organs, you know, dependencies and arrangements, generating this or that resource or this or that, you know, a group of workers or, you know, this or that place to put surplus or this or that place to experiment. You know, there's a materiality to the world that is very, 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 very important in determining and kind of influencing, you know, where goods and money and capital are going to circulate, right? And that's been like a core, you know, that's been a message that I think the book has done well. I mean, you know, Marxist literature tries to do well as well, but I think the book, especially in trying to emphasize the, you know, economic power and its theory of economic power, trying to think about the ways in which capital has restructured the world or created novel things to affirm or to affix into the world that are necessary to understand if you want to have a idea of why something is happening, what might happen next, and what to do about it.
Yeah, I want to quote from Mao a little bit here in the second section of the chapter, Marx on Logistics. So, you know, Mao is in this chapter really kind of having us focus in on logistics, and as I said at the top, right, he's going to do that in large part through kind of synthesizing, summarizing, reframing and redirecting different kind of bodies of work on logistics and the kind of political economy of logistics. And of course, as he always does, you know, he starts with Marx, right? What did Marx have to say about logistics as our kind of foundation, as our starting point? And I like this section. I'll just quote from Mao here where he says, Marx consistently stresses that transport is a part of the production process. The rationale behind this categorization is that the location of a commodity is a part of its use value. A product is not really a commodity until it is actually available on the market. And just as a side note, I mean, here he's really, you know, talking about that, like, it's that exchange value, right? And like, exchange value happens at the moment of exchange. And you can't have that moment of exchange unless you have a buyer and a seller in the same general place, or at least communicating with each other through space and time, right? And that's so much of logistics as well, is it's about looking at this relationship between space and time. Mal goes on, for this reason, Marx argues that the production process encompasses everything that is today called the supply chain, including warehousing, distribution, and retail. Transportation is thus, as Marx writes, the continuation of a production process within the circulation process and for the circulation process, end quote. This process takes place in time and space. One of the peculiarities of capitalism, however, is that it reduces spatiality to a merely temporal moment. Space is reduced to time in the sense that distance matters for capital only because it takes time to cross it. Capital's tendency to reduce turnover time therefore takes the form of, as Marx famously wrote, an annihilation of space through time. Note that this is not only a matter of speed, but also certain regularity of time. Capital not only needs transport to be fast, it also needs it to be regular, reliable, scheduled.